Good evening and welcome to Midnight Harmony. It is always a blessing to have you join us and listen, and my prayer is that God speaks to you tonight and encourages you as you absorb His Word into your life. I'm your host, E.W. Helmick. It's always my privilege to be with you. I hope you've listened to some of our other programs. If there is something you would like us to include on our program, or someone you think would be a good interview with a personal story of courage, joy, or overcoming, please let me know and we'll try and include them in a future program. You can read more about Midnight Harmony and our partner ministry Help World Tour at www.helpwt.com. Everything we do here on this program and in ministry throughout the world is made possible by your donations and support. If you would like to support our ministry, you'll find a donation link on our website. But more importantly, we would love to connect with you through your subscription to this program or by following us on Facebook. We're blessed to have you a part of our program, Midnight Harmony. There's something that's been on my heart for several weeks now that I wanted to share, and I've taken some time to outline my thoughts, so I want to start tonight with a quote by George Mueller, the German-English clergyman from Bristol. There was a day when I died. Utterly died. Died to George Mueller. His opinions, preferences, tastes, and will. Died to the world, its approval or censure, died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then I have only to show myself approved to God. If you have been following our partner ministry, Help World Tour, you know that the vision behind our ministry is to help others find their passion, follow their dreams, and ultimately reach the destiny God has for them. Through many years of teaching this inspirational message, we have seen many people, young and old, give their lives to the Lord. Yet as I consider more and more what Scripture teaches, I'm suddenly feeling a bit like a false prophet. Through my study, I found there is really nowhere in Scripture where I find a command to follow our dreams or live out our passion. Desires, yes, as we're instructed in Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We make God our delight, and in so doing we have our heart's desire, satisfied by his loving kindness, which in turn becomes our exceeding joy. I think I fail at that often, letting God be my delight, letting his joy become exceeding in my life. I would sure like to see that change before I get much older. Dreams are mentioned throughout Scripture, but only as a point of narrative, not accomplishment or fulfillment of one's success, which is all too common nowadays in a world of endogenous beings. As for passion, there is only one verse in the New Testament, Acts 1:3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This word passion is pasco in the Greek and means to suffer. Christ's passion was a painfully vexed suffering. So now you can see my dilemma. If Scripture doesn't teach us to find our passion and live out our dreams as I've been inspiring others to do so fervently, then what is it asking us to do? I believe Scripture makes it clear we are to abandon our personal journeys and follow Christ. I believe it so much that I am rebounding on my past mission and changing everything about our ministry to be solely focused on just that, following the commands of Christ. In an earlier broadcast, I made mention that Christ had only commanded a handful of mandates to his disciples, and I want to show you each of these briefly. Please note, these are aside from the Ten Commandments which God gave to Moses, to which every person should undoubtedly follow to achieve. Yet the commands of Christ are mandates which, if done so properly and without hesitation, carry one's journey into a life that is Christ-like in demeanor and execution. Go and make disciples. Matthew 28:18-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Pray always. Luke 21:36. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Believe that Jesus is in the Father. John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Take up your cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Love one another. John 13:34-35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Pray for your enemies. Matthew 5:44-45. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Repent. Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How does your personal journey reflect these seven commandments of Christ? Are these commandments simply amendments to your own journey? You'll implement them along the way as you navigate life your way, on your time, in your own effort and will. Are you racking up your personal experiences for you or for the glory of God? Abandon your personal journey and follow me is the ultimate command of Christ. It is also what God founded the nation of Israel upon, men who would give up their own cause for His. Why? Because your personal journey can blind you, just as it did Cain, Samson, Saul, Pharaoh, Lot's wife, and many, many others throughout history. Everyone is on a journey. Everyone will have different and unique experiences. Everyone will undergo different circumstances. Every life will have a different beginning, outcome, and end. But as long as it remains your personal journey, it also remains your greatest struggle in letting Christ carry your burdens and forgive your shame. Note, I didn't say sin, because shame is simply Satan's scandal to keep you occupied on yourself. People, it is time to abandon your journey and walk in His steps. I call it the semblance of Christ. When the commands of Christ fall into place one after another in your life, and you begin to realize that nothing about you, nothing about your story, nothing about your brokenness, and nothing about your life is more important than the call Christ has put on your life. Who did God call to abandon their personal journey and follow Him? Noah is a very obvious story of a man who was devout to God, obedient to God, and quickly laid down his will for that of God's. Jonah is a wonderful example of God asking someone to abandon their own journey and then seeing the very real conflict of following your own journey or following God's. Naomi started down the road of following her own journey after her husband died, Were it not for Ruth, who accompanied her and gave her hope, she followed a different path. God had a clear path for Samson, but he repeatedly followed his own journey to his eventual end and death. God accomplished his plan, but how sad it wasn't done was Samson's contrite spirit and heart. Who abandoned their own personal journey to follow Christ? The list is a sweeping list of saints and sinners. Here are just a few. Peter, a fisherman turned disciple and eventually martyred. Paul, a murderer turned disciple, author, and eventually martyred. Mary, a prostitute that at one point in her life smelled like Christ after pouring out perfume upon his feet and wiping it away with her hair. The list of individuals who gave up their personal journeys is probably best outlined in Hebrews 11, wherein are the names of those who made great sacrifice to be considered worthy to be called by his name. Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, Isaac and Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Moses. Absolutely an example of someone who abandoned their journey to follow God. Rahab the harlot, Gideon, Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. We're told the people who abandoned their personal journeys were people of faith, who in the end were stoned, sawn in half, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. My dear friend, I'm sad to say I have improperly led some people to think following their dreams, never giving up, and being successful were attributes which God would be proud of, only to discover they are not. He is not proud of the man or woman who touts their own performance, goals, or dreams. His desire is not for you to follow your dream, but to follow him. My dear friend, I am sad to not only say I have misled people, but I know so many people who call themselves Christian, whose personal journey abstracts the very nature of Christ, whose lives have become a besotted lingering of deceit and misrepresentation. They no more wish to follow and implement the commands of Christ than they wish to abandon their wealth, social status, dignity, or approval they seek from a world of castigation. A young man once asked Christ what he must do to have eternal life, and Christ said, "Follow the commandments," to which the young man said, "I have done so since I was young." Christ answered and said, "Then sell everything and follow me," to which Scripture tells us the young man hung his head and went away sorrowful because he was very wealthy. He refused to abandon his personal journey to be not only a disciple of Christ, but to spend an eternity in his presence. I wonder how Christ must have felt as he watched the young man depart in sorrow. Recently, I have spoken my conviction on this idea of abandoning your personal journey, and I see blank stares on the people in front of me. One person even said to me, "Well, that's what you think. That's your journey, to abandon your journey, and that's fine if that's what you want to believe." My friend, I don't only think it. I don't only believe it. It is what Scripture teaches us. I'm simply stating that when Christ gave his disciples command to repent, pray for our enemies, love one another, take up our cross and follow him, believe that Jesus is in the Father, pray always, and go and make disciples, that is exactly what he meant, and how we do those things is by implementing each and every one into our lives. I don't know of anyone who can do that while at the same time following their own desires of wealth, success, and personal goals. There is a simple test wherein you can discover your true self, your true commitment to the things of Christ and discover if you're on your path or His. Deny yourself and love others as He loved you. Don't just say it, do it. Put it into action tonight or first thing tomorrow morning. Love one another as I have loved you, He said. If you want to begin tonight or tomorrow morning, start with the hardest command of all. Love someone else and serve them like Christ has served you. It goes against everything we as humans want to do, and yet overcomes great barriers and obstacles of self when applied without gain, duty, or obligation. Simply serve someone else today for the sake of Christ in His love. And it must cost you more of your time than your money. After that, tell someone about Christ. It is a command of Christ to make disciples, to go into all the world, not to take a believer and disciple them. That's wonderful. But the command is to make disciples, which begins with telling someone about Christ and leading them to His doorstep. If you're making excuses of why you cannot tell someone about Christ, how it isn't your calling. Maybe you're not an evangelist. Perhaps you're following your journey and not His commands. The list, though not an easy one to follow, is not an impossible list to accomplish once you have abandoned your journey. I have a friend. His name is Mark Fontana, a wonderful songwriter and musician. I met Mark many years ago when we were working together at the University of California in Santa Barbara. We shared an office together, and Mark would bring his guitar to work and play during breaks and at lunch. In the course of a very short period of time, he got better and better, and I encouraged him to record some of his music. Eventually, once he had put together quite a few songs, he went to a recording studio and laid down his tracks. Each one was beautiful, haunting, inspiring, and filled with vision. But one in particular caught my heart, entitled Searching for Heaven. In it, Mark explores the idea of one's personal journey while searching for heaven. It is a beautiful song, and I am honored to have permission to share it with you tonight on Midnight Harmony. This is Searching for Heaven by Mark Fontana.
I sat upon a mountain till my face was burned by the sun, waiting for a vision. I was waiting for someone. I went insane, then I went blind, went as far as I could go. No chariot of gold appeared to carry me back home. I'm searching for heaven, I know I'm glory bound. A choir of angels surely waits. If I close my eyes, I can almost see the glory of heaven's gate. I went into the forest, sat beneath a tree, wrapped up in my silence, just the wind upon the leaves. A hunger in my belly and a burning in my soul. Thought I was forsaken, but I was crying tears. I'm searching for heaven, I know I'm glory bound. A choir of angels surely waits. If I close my eyes, I can almost see the glory of heaven's gate. I went into the city and gave my clothes to the poor, tended to the needy, and slept upon the floor. Never wish I could reclaim all I left behind. Haven't found that shining light, but I found peace of mind. I'm searching for heaven, I know I'm glory bound. A choir of angels surely waits. If I close my eyes, I can almost see the glory of heaven's
Several years after Mark recorded that song, he was diagnosed with a terminal illness, which set him on a personal journey as he moved more and more into the realm of spirit, becoming ever more joyful and serene. As peace became more and more his home, his love for others, and especially for his beloved wife, became deeper. He left this world filled with gratitude and was a shining example to so many who are fortunate enough to know him, of what, in the face of great calamity, one can become. Upon learning of his illness, there was a great outpouring of love and concern, and when his employer's accumulated time off benefits ended, his fellow staff members donated nearly a year's worth of their own vacation hours. He cried whenever recounting this story to others. The remarkable length of time he lived after being diagnosed as terminally ill was perhaps the fullest and most meaningful of Mark's entire life. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, wrote, "How the individuality of a man comes out in his dying hour. What an important being he becomes. You think more of that one man while dying than all the thousands of the living who parade our streets. No matter who he is dying, and we tread softly. Poor man, he must now die, and die alone." And now how important his character becomes. His life, his own life, is now being put into the balance, and he is looking back upon it. It is the most important thing in the universe to him. His outward circumstances are now a small matter. His life is the main consideration. Was he righteous or wicked? A fearer of God or a despiser of his grace? Be he rich or be he poor, his rank and station are subjects of indifference. The hangings of the bed are very small account. The man who lies there is the sole concern. Whether he is now waited upon by the best physician, hired by the costliest fee, or whether he lies in the hospital tended by gentle charity, it is the man himself, the man's soul, the man's personal character that is now seen in all its grandeur, demanding his whole thought. Be he peer or be he peasant, be he king or be he serf, it is much the same to each man to die. Differences on the dying bed arise out of character, and not out of rank. Now he has to face for himself the great things of eternity, and cannot leave them to another. He used to hear about eternity as one of the Mass, but now he has to experience it alone and by himself. Into the cold river his own feet must descend, the cool waves must chill his blood, death muse close his eye, and into the unknown future he must plunge alone. No brother's hand can grasp his hand when he has quitted the body. No fellow mortal can fly side by side with him through the tracks unknown. how vividly the individuality of the man comes out and the need of a personal interest in the great salvation. How much it is to be desired that it could be made quite as plain under happier circumstances. And yet how clear it is that each one of us must believe in the Savior for himself. Each serve God personally, and each have a good hope through grace wrought in his own soul. Will men never think of this till they come to die? In her critique of the book Called by Ryan Pemberton, author Laura Anderson Kirk makes this clarification. Is this God, or is this just me giving a divine stamp of approval on my own personal ambitions? Is this act of surrender what I genuinely believe God to be calling me to, or is this just me looking for a greener grass and a bit of excitement? Or perhaps, is this my best attempt to live into the type of Christianity I've been told is reserved for real Christians? I don't want to be naive here and think everyone, every Christian, will abandon their personal journey and follow Christ. Many Christians are following Christ, which has led them on a fantastic personal journey for His glory. That is the distinction, however. His glory. Too many Christians are following Christ, but with their brokenness and sin in tow. That's not abandoning your journey for His. That's simply pulling up your bootstraps and trudging through life's refuse in search of dry land or greener pastures. My friend, I don't want to shame anyone, but I do want you to be honest with yourself and with God. Ask yourself, and more importantly, ask God, are you on your personal journey or His? Have you abandoned everything that is a reflection of you, your desires, your dreams, your passion, and are you following His lead? If you are, then the result will be effervescent fruit coming from all that you do. If not, then joy and discouragement will be a regular part of your life. Evangelist Jerry Falwell stated once, God will never use you when you are discouraged. I don't know if that's a definitive true statement, but it does make sense. If I've eaten a lemon and my face is sour with bitterness, who would want to follow that example? No one, I should imagine. Are people following you because they see fruit in your life and they experience the power of Christ because you're following the commands of Christ and He's using your life to accomplish His perfect will and glory? I hope so. Remember, the list of commands is a short list, and exactly what He desired for His followers to use as they journeyed through life. Repent. Pray for your enemies. Love one another. Take up your cross and follow Him. Believe that Jesus is in the Father. Pray always, and go and make disciples. And repeat again and again. The commands of Christ, what I call the semblance of Christ, it is the place you abandon self to serve others. The place where ultimate sacrifices are made and the place wherein your destiny begins. It will take some of us a lifetime to get there. A place where our journey is laid aside and we truly pick up the cross for the remission of our sins, the abandonment of self, and we put our lives into service for His glory. My prayer right now for you tonight is that you have a great peace about your journey with God. If there are barriers, fears, brokenness, or sins that are keeping you from hearing His voice, I pray those would be laid at the altar tonight and He would begin guiding you towards the destiny He has for you. My prayer is that you abandon your personal journey and set a course to keep and fulfill the commands of Christ in all that you do, in all that you love, and those you serve. That again and again others come to know Christ as you have and are given the chance to journey with Him into eternity. Be mighty in all things Christ. Be little in all things self. And give yourself wholly to the journey God has for your beautiful life. Godspeed.